listener production.
Hey, Bension Siebert here with The Briefing. For the first time ever, two independent candidates are attempting to run for federal parliament as one job-sharing MP. That's right. Lucy Bradlow and Bronwyn Bock want to run as a single candidate on the ballot paper in the Melbourne seat of Higgins. They reckon they could do this whole thing like any other job share. They'd take alternate weeks in Canberra, make joint decisions and split duties. They'd even share a work phone. But whether this is legally possible and how it would actually work in practice isn't so clear-cut. Bradlow and Bock do have the support of constitutional lawyer and expert Kim Rubenstein, and they believe it would be a step in the right direction for making Parliament more representative of wider society. However, other experts say Australia's constitution simply doesn't allow it. They say it's not legal. Joining me in the studio are the job-sharing independent candidates for the singular seat of Higgins in Melbourne, Bronwyn Bock and Lucy Bradlow. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Now, I don't know who to ask first, but maybe one of you can jump in with an answer that represents both. How would two people act as one MP?
There's a really fundamental core principle of job sharing, which is that two people represent one role. So in this case, there would be Lucy and Bronwyn as two people representing one member for Higgins. We'd work week on, week off, with a handover at the end of each week. And really importantly, we'd split our salary down the middle so it would be cost neutral for the taxpayer.
And I should say that that was Bronwyn speaking. Lucy, do you have anything to add?
No, I think that's exactly right. I think for all intents and purposes, it's one role. So when you're thinking about a role of a member of parliament, when you're on the floor of the House of Representatives, they don't call on the person's name. They call on the member for Higgins. So we would be one member for Higgins. It would just be two people doing the job.
Do you have identical political views?
It's really important for us that we have deeply similar core values and beliefs. If we didn't, we wouldn't be doing this together. We have worked together over the last 18 months, job sharing this project and working through issues and debating and bringing our two sets of skills and experience together to come to positions on things that are better than if either of us were doing them alone. I think we all understand the benefits of diversity of thought and bringing different skill sets together. So having two people with different skill sets each 50% of the time is actually sometimes more than a whole.
Very briefly, because we don't have a huge amount of time, but what are those core values for people who don't know you?
Absolutely. So some of our core values are being really transparent and honest and open. I think that's something that Luce and I really stand for. One of our policy areas is integrity in government, and it's deeply important to us that we only represent the people of Higgins, like our constituents, and not any vested interests. We will do what we say we will do.
And I think that one of the things that's coming up a lot in this discussion is, oh, what if they disagree on things? You know, all politicians don't have set opinions on every single piece of policy that comes up. You get the policy, you think about it, you consult with experts, you consult with your community, and then you make an informed decision on how you're going to vote on that particular piece of policy. And that's exactly what we'll do.
I will get to what happens when you disagree inevitably, but give me the pitch for job sharing in general. Why?
Job sharing is a widely practiced way of bringing in a wider group of leaders into the public and private sector. We know that in particular, 58% of women in the private sector work in part-time or casual roles. And if you want to get more women into leadership roles, you have to broaden the types of work that they can do. Otherwise, you're leaving them languishing in lower paid roles and you're leaving them doing roles that they're actually overqualified for. So to get a more diverse group of people into leadership, you have to change the types of roles that are available to them.
And it's not just for women. Women are an important group that we hope get better represented because of this, but it's also for people who aren't willing or able to work full-time. So I'm a mum of three small children, that counts me into that group, but also you might be caring for an elderly relative, or you might have a disability or live in a rural or regional community, and it might not be so easy to get to Canberra 22 weeks a year.
If the diversity of views is something that we should strive for in Australian politics, why not have a dozen people as an MP in a seat? Why not have a whole political party as an MP in a seat?
Well, we are proposing splitting the costs, so it might be quite difficult to split the costs of one MP by 12.
Yes.
So that's a key barrier. I also think that there are practical limitations. If you had a dozen people, when would they work? How would the handover work? I think with two people, it is a very realistic way to do it. You can have a handover, you can have the continuity of ideas and information in a realistic way.
Is this a stunt?
This is absolutely not a stunt. Lucy and I have spent the last 18 months putting our blood, sweat and tears into something we feel very passionate about. We want Parliament to be like any other workplace where options for flexibility, part-time work, job sharing are available. We wouldn't do this and work ahead for what might be another 12 months until the election comes if we didn't really believe that this was something that could be possible. And we also have legal advice from Kim Rubenstein, who's a foremost constitutional lawyer, an academic, a scholar and an advocate in this space. And it's her view that there is nothing in Australian law that means that two people can't run on one ticket.
Well, let's go to that now. So one of Australia's most prominent constitutional experts, Anne Toomey, and most respected constitutional experts, I should say, has raised a series of concerns about this idea. She says that in the conversation this week that before a person can sit or vote in the House of Representatives, Section 42 of the Constitution requires the, quote, member to be sworn in. It doesn't permit two people to be sworn in as a single member. How are you so confident she's wrong?
We are working with Kim Rubenstein, who's also one of the foremost constitutional experts in this country, and she has a very different view. The Constitution is a living document, and it's not up for Anne Toomey to decide. It's up for the High Court to decide what the correct interpretation of that is.
Is that, you think, where we're headed if you do get elected?
If the government don't put two lines on one form, it won't make it very clear that it's possible to do. And we do hope they do that. They have said they want to be the best in the world for gender equality, but it seems unlikely at this stage that they're going to. So what might happen is that we'll put both of our names on the one line. And then if the Australian Electoral Commission were to reject our nomination, we would absolutely be willing to argue for the case in the High Court.
Professor Toomey also says that the Constitution allocates a limited number of MPs, both per state and for the nation. And she says that you would have to get rid of another member elsewhere in Victoria if you had two MPs in one seat. Obviously, none of us are constitutional lawyers, so let's not go there. But if it were up to you, it wouldn't be, but if it were up to you, who would you kick out in Victoria?
Oh, I love that question. Luce, well, are you going to jump in?
I am a lawyer, and I would say that I would argue that she is incorrect in her reading, that we would not have to kick out anyone because we are not saying that there would be an additional member. We are being one member for Higgins.
Have you been surprised by the reaction that's come from this proposal?
No. I think what we've seen is an enormous amount of support from a lot of people who think that the nature of power needs to be changed, that we are a changing world, that particularly since COVID, the ways of working, the ways of thinking about work, the ways we're contactable 24/7 have made our lives different, and that thinking about job-sharing parliamentarians is a way of thinking about parliamentarians that represent modern Australians. And really the main criticism we're seeing is from people who are already in the system, and changing the way we think about power threatens their roles and their positions. And of course they're going to be resistant to the idea of thinking about changing the way we think about power.
What do you think is the gender aspect of this? Do you think that there's been some sexist commentary in relation to this issue?
do you know, from a gender perspective, one thing that Lucy and I would welcome is other people doing this as well. This is not just for us. This is not just for women. We hope men do it too. People of all genders would be welcome to run as job sharing. We don't think that there'll be all of a sudden an influx of job sharing candidates, but we do think it is one way to make Parliament more inclusive and more representative of the people it represents. If people are making comments, people are entitled to their own opinions. But I know a lot of people who work flexibly who take offence to comments that they're not giving 100% to their role. And I work flexibly and I give 100%, probably more, to the role when you're doing it. So it's one of those things where together Lucy and I will be taking up 100% of a role, because we're not trying to make this role part-time. Mm-hmm. It'll still be a full-time role, just shared equally by two people. But boy, oh boy, will we have good energy to bring to it. Can you imagine a second sitting week where you haven't been there the first week? People are exhausted after the first week. So we'll bring all sorts of good energy to it. So I'd say there's different lenses people will bring to this, but we welcome the inclusivity and the change it will bring. It's about time Parliament looks like any other workplace.
I'd also say that we've been really pleasantly surprised by the number of people who have come up to us and said, oh, this is such a great idea. I'd love to job share. We had a male cameraman, for instance, yesterday who was filming us, and he finished filming and he said to us, oh, I'd love to job share my role, but it's really looked upon badly for men these days, for men to job share. Flexibility is so much more acceptable for women than it is for men. And if we can open this up to more people, particularly make it more gender neutral just by having this conversation, then what an amazing conversation to be having.
Because we do hope it cascades down. Obviously, right now, we're running as job share members in federal parliament, but we hope it cascades down through parliament more broadly and, again, becomes more common in the private sector or broader public sector today.
Well, you have started a fascinating conversation. Thanks so much for joining us on The Briefing.
Thanks for having us.
Lucy Bradlow and Bronwyn Bock joining me there. That's it for The Briefing this afternoon. Check your feed again from 6 a.m. tomorrow for the latest news headlines and another deep dive. In the meantime, if you like what we do here at The Briefing, please tell a friend about the pod. I'm Ben Sion-Siebert. Catch you soon.